Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. The future of electric cars could look a lot like slot car tracks. Amazon claims it doesn't eavesdrop on customers' conversations to target advertising at them after it emerged that it had patented voice-sniffing tech. A U.S. federal judge ruled on Monday that Facebook must face a class action lawsuit alleging that the social network unlawfully used a facial recognition process on photos without users' permission. And veteran game maker Sega announces getting back into the hardware game at the Sega FES 2018 event over the weekend with a shrunken version of its classic Mega Drive or Genesis console. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. The world's first electric road that recharges the batteries of cars and trucks driving on it has been opened in Sweden. About 2 kilometers, or 2.1 miles, of electric rail has been embedded in a public road near Stockholm, but the government's road agency has already drafted a national map for future expansion. Sweden's target of achieving independence from fossil fuels by 2030 requires a 70% reduction in the transport sector. The technology behind the electrification of the road linking Stockholm Arlanda Airport to a logistics site outside the capital city aims to solve the thorny problems of keeping electric vehicles charged and the manufacturing of their batteries affordable. Energy is transferred from 2 tracks of rail in the road via a movable arm attached to the bottom of a vehicle. The design is not dissimilar to that of a slot car track. The electrified road is divided into 50-meter sections with an individual section powered only when a vehicle is above it. When a vehicle stops, the current is disconnected. The system is able to calculate the vehicle's energy consumption, which enables electricity costs to be debited per vehicle and user. There is no electricity on the surface. There are just 2 tracks, just like the outlet in a wall. 5 or 6 centimeters down is where the electricity is, but if the road is flooded with salt water, they found that the electricity level at the surface is only 1 volt, so you could walk on it barefoot. The dynamic charging, as opposed to the use of roadside charging posts, means that the vehicle's batteries can be smaller, along with their manufacturing costs. National grids are increasingly moving away from coal and oil, and battery storage is seen as crucial to changing the source of energy used for transportation.
How interesting is that?
Amazing.
That's cool.
Amazing in a place that doesn't have snow, though.
Don't they? No,
like,
they do.
Do they? Do they
snow
so that it's like totally,
yeah.
I don't even know.
Does
Sweden get snow?
Gets.
I guess
snow.
They do. I see.
Yeah,
I feel like.
They do. Come on. Most people think of winter when they hear of Sweden.
Oh, except for me.
Oh, Wikipedia. That's the first. No, that's Sweden.se, nature. Because of the warm Gulf Stream, the climate here can be much milder than you might expect. Spring, summer, fall, and winter each have their own unique personalities. However, in the winter months, snow is rare near the southern coast.
Okay, so they do have some snow.
Ah, yes.
That's good. Okay, because that would be my one thing.
You know what's neat about it, though, is
what?
Because of the way this thing attaches to the track, mm-hmm. or not attaches, I guess touches the track to get its power, it works like a snowplow on the track itself. So if it did have snow or ice built up,
it
is self-maintaining, essentially. It cleans itself.
I wonder, because I love this idea, and I would love to see it implemented like internationally.
Mm-hmm.
But how do they power the actual road? right? Is it solar that they're using, or are they using fossil fuels to actually create the electricity?
Well, and I think this is where Sweden is kind of separating themselves from the rest of the world, if you will, in that so it's powered by the grid.
Right.
So the electrical system, the electrical power that's available to the communities that it's a part of, but their grid is predominantly producing energy through renewable resources. So where you know, you may think about, you know, with coal and fossil fuels being used to generate electricity, well, they've got a lot of, well, for one thing, nuclear plants, a few of them, but that generates a lot of power and cleanly, and also hydroelectric, so water power as well. So it comes out of the grid. So there it works because it is clean energy coming out of the grid because the grid is clean. Where here, I would think that if they wanted to install something like that, the company installing it would also have to create their own power sources if they wanted to be green.
Right. A long time ago, I saw a video about solar roadways.
Right.
And did you see the same one?
Those are the tiles?
The tiles,
right? I haven't seen the video, but I read the story and I remember you mentioning it in the newsroom.
Right, because I loved it so much. It was a very well produced video. It pitched an idea that's implanted in my brain. If they had a solar roadway, even solar sidewalks or something, then it would not only power that, but then also it could keep a temperature to the point where you wouldn't need plows,
right? In Canada, yeah, that could be amazing.
Yeah, anyway.
But they didn't have, that solar roadway didn't have a way of charging cars.
It did not. This was before these cars were invented.
Right.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. It's very, very, well, I mean, from my perspective, it seems expensive to implement.
Right.
It's costing them about €1 million per kilometer to lay this track.
But it's saving the earth, and there is
It is good in that regard, but and I guess it's a little bit of an experiment at this point. Like, will this work? Will it be adopted by car manufacturers? Can cars be manipulated? And in fact, one of the vehicles that they're using in the test process is an old diesel truck that they've converted to be able to use this type of energy.
Right.
So that's pretty neat.
Well, to be honest, they're doing this roadway close to an airport right now, and it actually does make sense to me that they would do roads like this close to places where a car could be sitting for a long time and perhaps lose charge, right? This is going to charge you as
there's a lot of highways in Sweden, too, right? So a lot of people are on the go for long periods of time, and if that's the case, then wouldn't it be good to have it on those straight stretches where the autonomous vehicle can line you up, lock you in, charge your vehicle, and then move aside for the next guy? That, to me, makes a lot of sense. When you're sitting, though, like if you're parked at an airport, you can plug in.
Right.
So
maybe you could park.
A different scenario.
You could park on, like, chi sensors. You know how you can you charge your phone, isn't it, with chi when you put your phone down?
Oh, yes.
Right? Can you imagine?
I was picturing chi like you know the old sense of the term. Now this QI spelling.
Yes. Yeah. So if you like parked your car and all of a sudden it just connected and you would just park on a charging spot.
I wonder how much energy would be wasted by that type of a technology, because that would be really neat.
It would be.
That would be really cool. Full of ideas here.
That's right.
Full of ideas.
Love it.
Before I mute my microphone. Still getting used to the switching.
Oh. Amazon claims it does not eavesdrop on customers' conversations to target advertising at them after it emerged that it had patented voice sniffing tech. The patent describes listening to conversations and building a profile of customers' likes and dislikes. Reports speculated that Amazon would deploy the technology in its voice-activated Echo speakers, but Amazon said it did not listen to customers' conversations to target advertising at them. Launched in 2014, Amazon's Echo speakers can play music, set a timer, or read the news when addressed with the wake word Alexa. However, the patent describes an algorithm that can listen to entire conversations using trigger words such as like or love to build a profile of customers. The document states that the system could then offer targeted advertising and product recommendations. But Amazon said it did not use customers' voice recordings for targeted advertising. In a statement, it said, "We take privacy seriously and have built multiple layers of privacy into our Echo devices. Like many companies, we file a number of forward-looking patent applications that explore the full possibilities of new technology. Patents take multiple years to receive and do not necessarily reflect current developments to products and services." Okay. So you buy a speaker.
An Alexa device.
You put it into your house. You plug it in. You turn it on. And then you don't want it to listen to you?
We live in an interesting world, don't we? Where people sign up for Facebook and then complain that Facebook is selling their information or otherwise compromising privacy. And, you know, you buy an Alexa device and then get concerned that it's listening to you, but it's kind of inevitable. And I know that they're saying it's not.
It has one job. Its one job is to listen to you.
It's Amazon.
Okay, so
remember what they are.
They sell you things. I actually love this. I actually hope that I hope that they're spying on the things that people like and don't like, because I want better recommendations for things I like.
Oh, yeah?
Right now, what happens is I search for something, I like it, I buy it, and then I get ads forever about it. I've already bought it. I have it.
No.
Tell me the next thing.
You know what's worse is I get a lot of emails for things that I put away, that I said, no, I'm not going to buy that, because I cross-compare many different products before choosing the one I want.
Right.
So when I bought this particular Raspberry Pi case that looks like a Nintendo Entertainment System, you know that I also clicked on every other Raspberry Pi case. So now I'm getting all these recommendations for Raspberry Pi cases, but I already bought the one I chose.
Right.
Or I'm getting recommendations because I'm an Amazon partner, Category 5 is, and so we don't get any reports that show us who bought what and where it's going, and it's not personally identifiable to us at all. But I am interested to see what people buy.
Right.
So sometimes I'll see something that I'm like, what on earth is that that made us $5? So I'll click on it.
A Vive.
And it's like, oh, that's interesting. So one of our viewers purchased this odd thing. And so now I'm getting all these emails from Amazon recommending these odd things and related odd things.
See, if they're making these algorithms and things where all of a sudden they can tell what I like and don't like, mm-hmm. and they're making it sharper and more specific to actually who I am as a person.
Considering we all just shop on Amazon through Category 5's partner
which
links.
Is what I do. I can't see it being a bad thing that if you've bought this Alexa device, if you bought an Echo or whatever it's called, I don't have one clearly, or else I would know what it's called. How could you complain that it could possibly be listening to you when you bought it to listen to you?
I think people still have this underlying fear of the loss of privacy and Big Brother of companies keeping track of our personal information.
Then don't do it. Don't buy it. Right?
I think progressively we're going to be in a world where that's not an option.
Right.
Where we are being monitored all the time.
I unplug we have a camera we use to call Dave's dad because we do video calls with him. We unplug it when we're done with it.
Okay.
Which makes sense to me.
People put tape over the webcam on their laptops.
Right.
Just in case.
Right. So if you plug in a speaker that's job is to listen to you and then you keep it plugged in, it's going to listen to
it's listening.
You. It's going to. It's going to listen to the news, and it's going to buy 6 dozen shortbread cookies in a dollhouse.
Nice. as one final thought from me, I would think that what would be really, really interesting, maybe this is something that we could do as a show, but certainly I could see somebody doing this, is to set up a controlled environment where we buy an Alexa device, we set it up on an account that has never been set up before, and we put it in a control room. Where the only things that are ever spoken about in that room are controlled conversations.
Like, I love ice cream.
I love ice cream. Oh, I love dollhouses.
I would love to eat ice cream that I've made. I would love an ice cream maker.
Yeah, so these kinds of things. And for those of you who subscribe to Alexa and Google Home, I apologize that we just ordered you an ice cream maker. However, I think in that controlled environment, it would be interesting to see what kind of recommendations our account starts getting.
Right.
And prove once and for all whether or not this is happening.
Right.
They're denying it.
I would like to make just a plea to you, because I know that you're denying it, but you're probably doing it. Can you just make it better so that you're not selling me things I already own? Guess what? I have it. I looked for it. I made a decision. Now sell me something that works with it.
Sell me something more. Sell me the batteries. Contact me in 6 months and sell me the batteries.
Hey, you just bought this. Guess what you're going to need? This.
Yes, exactly. Hey, you need toothpaste.
Exactly. See? All right. A U.S. federal judge ruled on Monday that Facebook must face a class action lawsuit alleging that the social network unlawfully used a facial recognition process on photos without user permission. The ruling adds to the privacy woes that have been mounting against Facebook for weeks since it was disclosed that the personal information of millions of users was harvested by the political consultancy Cambridge Analytica. U.S. District Judge James Donato ruled in a San Francisco federal court that a class action was the most efficient way to resolve the dispute over facial templates. Facebook said that it was reviewing the ruling, stating, "We continue to believe the case has no merit and will defend ourselves vigorously." The class will consist of Facebook users in Illinois for whom Facebook created and stored facial recognition algorithms after June 7th, 2011. That is the date when Facebook launched tag suggestions, a feature that suggests people to tag after a Facebook user uploads a photo.
You know, and I like that feature. I think that's very, very handy.
Yeah, again, this is a case where I get it.
Sure. It's a feature and it's helpful.
Yeah.
But it could be used for malicious purposes for sure. And they write an algorithm per person. So if you look at your downloaded content from Facebook, once you've downloaded your entire account, you can see that they have a facial recognition algorithm for you.
Right. And it doesn't work in the case of my sisters, Beth and Colleen, because they're identical twins. It's fun because it tries to tag.
Oh, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It doesn't.
You want to hear one that's weird, though?
What?
On our set here at Category 5 TV, we used to have a shelf behind us, and on that shelf was a Spock bobblehead.
Right. I remember the guy.
I uploaded a picture of us on the Category 5 TV set, not to Facebook, but to Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know whether Twitter still does this, but they were obviously experimenting at one point, because immediately it suggested that I tag Leonard Nimoy. This is a bobblehead.
From a bobblehead. Oh, that's
a bobblehead.
That's good work.
And it made that recommendation. I'm like, yeah, that's astonishing.
Remember last week we had a news story and we had a comment about how one of our viewers was locked out of their Facebook because they didn't provide a picture of their face.
Right, yes.
This is the way Facebook can tell you're you, right? They do this and they create a facial algorithm of who you are. And then...
And come to think of it, Robert Koenig was on the show last week as well talking about cryptocurrency. And he even brought to our attention that Coinbase uses the same kind of technology, automated identification, to take a photo and identify us.
Yeah. Furthermore, I have to say, in defense of Facebook, which is funny because I no longer have Facebook, but I will defend it. I'm pretty sure that users probably agreed to it in their terms and services.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's not
somewhere on page 472.
Did you read it? Do you really know? This class action lawsuit's going to get thrown out. Veteran game maker Sega announced it is getting back into the hardware game at the Sega FES 2018 event over the weekend with a shrunken version of its classic Mega Drive or Genesis console. In an announcement in no way connected to the success of Nintendo's SNES Mini, Sega might well have been inspired by the tried and trusted formula of preloading a bunch of elderly games into what could well be an emulator running inside a retro plastic shell. Of course, we have no insight into what software and hardware will be used. Sega hopes to get the device on sale this year in time for the 30th anniversary of the Japanese launch of the original console. European residents with long memories will remember the frustration of having to wait the additional 2 years until the Mega Drive arrived on UK shores. Hopefully, eager buyers will not face the same delay around this time around. Sega followed up the announcement with a tweet giving the device a startlingly.
We had this discussion just before the show that we were going to stumble on the word startlingly.
Startlingly.
So that's why she, in the back of your mind, you automatically started laughing.
Say it. Startlingly.
Startlingly.
That's a difficult one. Try it three times fast. Startlingly, original and tentative name of Mega Drive Mini. There's no word yet on the roster of games to be included, but we do expect to see at least one Sonic the Hedgehog game. We've yet to learn the hardware specifications of the device, but it is a quarter of the size of the original and will connect up to a modern television.
Great. Hey, sounds a lot like our RetroPie.
Sounds exactly like our RetroPie. Sounds like, yeah.
Doesn't
sounds like
this
a
look
great
like,
idea
look at, it's like
to
an,
have had.
It's like an old Nintendo from the 80s.
Yeah. It is a great idea. It seems a little bit late on the uptake.
It kind of feels like they saw our show and saw this and thought, hey, we should do that with a Sega Genesis.
Right. Or even, to be honest,
this is a Sega Genesis.
Exactly.
I mean, it's been done before.
Play old games on a big TV. I get it.
You know what I think, though?
What?
Is that companies do this. They launch an official rebirth of the console with the games included so that they can rebirth also the copyrights. So that people like me and you who have our RetroPie gaming systems on Raspberry Pis, we are now in breach of copyright rather than what we are currently, which is
just in the middle
using legacy software that's no longer sold, and so it's called abandonware.
Right.
It's available freely downloaded on the internet on various sources and that kind of thing. So by bringing it back, now all of a sudden, no, we released that in 2018. So you are now in violation of that to be using it on your RetroPie.
Tricky.
That's just a theory on my part. I think that that's what the manufacturers are up to.
That makes sense to me, actually. That rings true. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they can sell it on the 30th anniversary, and they can make a big deal about it.
I can't believe it's been 30 years.
It's crazy.
It's been 30 years, and I'm still playing the stuff and enjoying it.
I know. It's exciting. And to tell you the truth, I do have a collection of different consoles, so I'm sure that I'll have one.
Yeah, there you go.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson.